Hello, this is Jim Person.
And I'm Kristen Auerbach.
And we'd like to welcome you to the Fairfax County Pawcast, a podcast featuring news, stories, and events from the Fairfax County Animal Shelter. On this edition of the Pawcast, you'll learn everything you need to know to keep your pet safe as the weather warms up. Finally. We'll also tell you how you can protect your pet during tick season, which begins in late March, early April. And we'll also talk about Mitzi, who is our featured pet of the week. And Kristen, I don't know about you, but I am so over snow and want warm weather.
I am so ready for warm weather.
Bring spring on and then let me complain about being hot in the summer. That's fine.
We'll do that in about 3 months.
That's right. So warm weather tips. We're getting to be springtime. It's going to have some impact on our pets. Maybe the first thing is kind of we think about a spring checkup around the home and different things like that. Should we do the same kind of thing with our animal?
Yes. In the spring, we tend to become a lot more active with our animals and get them outside more. And so there are certain things you should think about. One is just making sure that the pet's vaccines are up to date, and that your pet has started on a flea and tick preventative, as well as heartworm. People tend to go to dog parks in the spring, and so you want to make sure if you're at dog parks, pet's vaccines are up to date, license is up to date, so it's a good time to check all of that.
Mm-hmm. Clean, fresh water is always important. Everybody needs water, human, animals, pets, but as the weather warms up and gets warmer and hotter, that water is even more important.
Yes, remember that your furry friends are always wearing a fur suit. And so weather that may feel comfortable to us might feel too warm to them. And it's important to make sure your pet has fresh water all the time. And you'll notice your pet will be drinking a lot more now that it's getting warmer out.
Right. It was 4:14 this morning, actually. And one of my dogs sleeps in the bedroom with my son. And I woke up to him crying, and I thought, oh, great, he's got to go outside to the bathroom at 4:14. No, he wanted to come downstairs and drink water. So he was thirsty, and he let me know. So interesting. Wintertime, we maybe not see as much shedding for some of our long-haired
shedding,
animals.
Yes. Yeah. No doubt, warm weather brings shedding, and pets often shed from the first sign of warm weather all the way through the fall. Regular brushing and grooming helps a lot, and there's certain shampoos you can use to decrease the shedding, but shedding's part of life. Winter coat's got to come off, and so the regular grooming really is helpful for that.
When we talk about making sure we brush out or comb out our animals, our dogs, cats, that kind of thing, I mean, are we talking every day, like two or three strokes? Or are we talking one big, massive 10-minute grooming or hair brushing once a week?
It really depends on the pet. We get pets all the time at the shelter that have terrible matting problems because they're long-haired pets that really need daily grooming. And that's a long-haired cat or certain breeds of dogs, they really need to be brushed every day, whereas a short-haired breed doesn't really ever need to be brushed.
Yeah. Really important thing to remember year-round, but especially as temperatures get warmer, is not to leave your dog or any animal, really, in a parked car by themselves.
Yes, dogs parked hot cars, cars get hot, it can be 65 degrees out, but if that car is in the sun and the windows are mostly rolled up, the car can get to a temperature that can be deadly for pets quite quickly. And every single year in the spring, animal control sees an increase in calls about pets being locked in hot cars. So it's important to remember that it doesn't need to be very hot out, and that not only can it be deadly for the pet, but it's also emotionally distressing. When we do have animals at the shelter who've been locked in hot cars, they often have resulting issues about any kind of confinement. They find it really distressing. They almost have a post-traumatic stress reaction. And so putting a dog in a hot car, you shouldn't do anything with a pet you wouldn't do with a child or another person.
Right. And I think that's a good point because we think about, obviously it's August, it's 100 degrees, I'm not going to leave my dog in the car. But I might not think about that in March or April when it's, like you said, 60, 65, whatever. It's really nice outside, but that confined area.
Yes, it gets hot.
Controls the heat. Another thing we maybe don't think about is the windows and the doors in our home, especially windows maybe on a second floor that we've got screens up to get some of that cool, fresh air in the house. Talk about some of those safety concerns.
Screens seem like barriers to us, but for many pets, they're really not. And we see a big increase in stray animals in the spring, partly because of unsecured window and door screens, gates that no one's checked since last winter. Mm-hmm. Pets get out a lot more in the spring as people open up doors and windows. So it's something to really go around and check all of that, check your fences and make sure there's no repairs needed. We have about double the number of stray animals in the spring than we do in the winter.
Wow. Okay, important point to remember there. All good tips. And I'm thinking about, you know, as I start going outside, you know, they, not only does the temperature rise, but there's also those pesky gnats and insects and all those kind of stuff. And I'm going to use some insect repellent. Is it safe for my, you know, my dog, my cat to be around me with an insect repellent?
You should check every repellent you use to make sure that it's pet safe. A good general rule of thumb is that if it's safe for a baby, it's often safe, not always safe for a pet. So you should check those things. Pets do respond differently to some chemicals than we do. And they're allergic or, you know, some things are toxic to them. I mean, raisins and grapes are a great example. They're deadly to pets and they're, you know, it's totally fine for humans. So everything you should check to make sure it's pet safe.
Right. Can I actually put the insect repellent on my pet?
Not the standard DEET that you buy, but there are repellents that are pet safe.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Another thing as we're entering spring, folks gardening, working on the lawn, you know, fertilizer, different insecticides, those kind of things. General kind of guidelines?
It can be. We in winter we have the salt and the other things used to treat ice and snow be really damaging to pets' pads, and some of that can be toxic. And in the spring, it's fertilizer. Fertilizer all will come with clear instructions about how long you need to wait before your pets go out, you know, in a lawn that's been fertilized. Mm-hmm. And you should not take any chances with that. If anything, be overly cautious because fertilizer can be an irritant to pets' feet, but it also can be it can make pets very sick if they consume it.
Mm. Another big thing we think about with warmer weather is ticks.
Yes.
Ticks are just annoying, but they also can have a lot of diseases like Lyme disease, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, and a couple others I can't pronounce.
One thing that surprises a lot of people is that tick season only stops for about 2 months. This year it was January and February, and that's usually during that time you can be fairly confident you won't have ticks on yourself or your pet.
Because of the cold temperature.
Because of the really cold temperature. Okay. But even if it warms up for a couple of days during those months, the ticks will come out. They're quite resilient. And ticks don't care what kind or species of animal that they feed on. They've even been known to feed on other insects. Amphibians, all kinds of companion animals, they're all susceptible to ticks. So it's something that people should know starts as soon as those warm days start. And the treatment, that's why vets recommend that we treat all year for fleas and ticks.
Okay. So we really need to have flea and tick preventatives. There's pills, there's topical meds, there's collars. I mean, does it matter what we're using?
There's all kinds of different treatments, and you should consult with your vet on which one. There's new oral medication for families with children that don't want the children touching the spot on the back.
Gotcha.
There's one that pets can take every month. I have a funny story. When I moved here from Ohio, my first spring in Virginia, I was having a picnic in the Bluebells and with my dogs. And as I was sitting there, I saw like hundreds of little specks. They're about the size of freckles crawling at myself, my pets, and those were nymph stage ticks.
Oh, gosh.
And so the bluebell season is also, when you see all the people getting pictures with the bluebells, I cringe now because it does start. You know, bluebells is early April, and that's when the ticks come out. So
take a pic, post it on Instagram, then check yourself for ticks.
Yes. All right. And the ones that cause the bad diseases, and we're talking Lyme disease, Ehrlichia, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, Babesia, all of these are caused by even the smallest ticks. Mm. So the little the deer ticks are they can be the size of a freckle. They're so small, and you may not even know they're there.
Yeah.
And you've really got about 24 hours to get that off of you, yourself or your pet.
Mm.
And so if you don't think you've gotten it off in that 24-hour period or you see the bullet rash, that's when you get either yourself to the doctor, if it's you, or if it's your pet, get your pet to the veterinarian. And vets will treat they'll treat with antibiotics. In some cases, just as a precaution, or they'll test the pet to see if it does have Lyme disease.
So if I see one or more, I mean, I've heard lots of different ways to remove a tick. I mean, is there a way to remove a tick?
Not with your fingers.
Okay.
Which is really hard not to do when you don't have a tweezers handy.
Right.
But there is a potential that a tick-carrying Lyme disease could spread that disease to you just through you picking it off.
Huh.
The other thing not to do is to explode them or pop them.
Mm.
So you should always use a tweezers. You shouldn't handle ticks. And then the other thing that people do all the time is they pick them off and drop them. Well, that tick's just going to go crawl right back up. You should not just let them go because they will survive and go on to bite something.
Mm. Okay.
Something else.
We talked about the visit to the vet, you know, kind of the spring checkup, but we're also talking about Lyme disease, and I want to kind of bring that one out specifically. Is there something we should do to kind of watch out for Lyme disease or, you know, because that seems to be a problem?
Yes. There are signs of tick-borne illnesses that you'll see, and we're seeing way more tick-borne illnesses than we ever have before, way more pets. It doesn't affect pets, the dogs, the same way it affects people. But if it does affect a dog, it's really, really awful. You'll see the animal may be lethargic, have a loss of appetite, and it might have difficulty walking or moving around, looking like it's lame or it's having trouble moving. Now, these can also be signs of many other serious illnesses, so you should get to the vet right away if you notice these. I was convinced that my dog last year had Lyme disease because she was hopping around and looked like she couldn't walk, and she had injured her paw.
Mm-hmm.
So you may not be right, but these are signs that, in any case, you should get to the vet.
But that animal is telling you something was wrong.
Yes.
So, yeah, okay. So there's not a WebMD for pets. So
there is, but after reading the pet WebMD, I was still convinced that she had the Lyme disease, and the vet laughed when I got there.
So leave it up to the
she has hurt her paw.
Leave it up to the professional.
Yes, but ticks are not there should not be taken lightly. They're very serious to pets and people. One other thing that can happen is even if your pet is treated, they can still very easily carry ticks into the home, into your bed, and the ticks. Sometimes the ticks will jump off the pet before they have attached, and so you have to remember that your pet may be carrying them in even if they are treated.
Are there things that we can get for the house? Are there sprays or things that we can put in the house without having to, like, you know, get the whole house fumigated kind of thing?
There are different things that you can use, but the best thing is just to keep. You can treat yourself when you go out. The DEET is somewhat effective. That's what we, you know, use to get rid of mosquitoes, but not so much with ticks. And and it's better to treat your clothes. There are sprays that are just for your clothes that you would use to treat them, the socks, your shoes, your pants when you go out. And that will generally keep the ticks away from you, and you won't be bringing them back into the house.
Okay. We're talking about warm weather tips and getting ready for spring. Any final thoughts before we get to our featured pet?
No. One other thing that we should mention is that being a good neighbor is also something that in spring changes a little bit because so many people are out walking.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're out walking your pets, you should make sure you're cleaning up after them.
Point.
And that you are keeping your pets leashed. We have a leash law in Fairfax County, and we get calls all the time of people saying, this dog was off a leash, it was menacing me, it ran up to me, it was really frightening. And the other thing is keep your cats indoors. Rabies is a real threat, and we had several cases of rabies in cats last year. And other things, there's a lot of other dangers that can be posed for cats, and, you know, cats eat birds. So those are just things to remember as the warm weather comes
on. Great points. Featured pet of the week
it's Mitzi. Mitzi is a 15-year-old cat.
Oh, wow.
And she is such a doll, but being 15, she is having a little bit of a hard time finding a home. And she's one of our long-haired, she looks like she has a giant black, it almost looks like an alpaca suit. Huh. She has this very long, luxurious fur.
Wow.
And we're always looking for people who are willing to take older cats into their home. Most of the time we get them because their owners pass away or are very ill. And it's very sad for the cats.
Yeah.
And so one nice thing someone can do is to come give an older cat a home. You know, it's not necessarily a long-term commitment, but we like to give them a happy golden years.
Right.
She's
looking for a retirement home.
Yeah, she's looking for a retirement home.
Okay. Well, be sure to ask for Mitzi when you go to the shelter because desperately needs a home, and we know that that you can help her out. Anything else before we wrap up today as we're
happy spring.
Into April. Yeah. No more snow, warm weather. Here we go. All right. That's going to do it. The time that we've got with you today, we want to definitely thank you for being a part of the listening family to the Animal Shelter Pawcast. You know, if you're wanting a cat like Mitzi, if you're wanting a dog, maybe a cat, a rabbit, a guinea pig, or other small pet, do remember the Fairfax County Animal Shelter is where your new best friend is waiting for you. The shelter is at 4500 West Ox Road in Fairfax, and they are open Tuesdays through Fridays from noon to 7 p.m., also on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
For more Fairfax County Animal Shelter news and events, visit us online at fairfaxcounty.gov/animalshelter. And be sure to check out the calendar of events located on the site. You can also call 703-830-1100, extension 2, or email animalshelter@fairfaxcounty.gov to have all of your questions answered.
And don't forget, the Animal Shelter is on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, where you can get the latest shelter news, events, success stories, and, of course, lots of great pictures. And don't forget Tips and Tales, which is the Animal Shelter television show on Channel 16. Thanks for listening to the Animal Shelter Pawcast, produced by the Fairfax County, Virginia government.